You began as something smaller than the period at the end of this sentence. One cell, a zygote, containing every instruction needed to build your eyes, your laugh, your capacity to love and wonder. This wasn't just any cell. It was the result of an epic competition, a biological lottery, and a union that had been preparing for decades. Long before you took your first breath, before your heart beat its first rhythm, you were already a miracle in motion. The story of how you came to be isn't just biology. It's the most personal adventure you'll ever know, and it began with odds that make winning the lottery look easy. Picture millions of microscopic swimmers, each barely visible, embarking on a journey equivalent to a human swimming from Los Angeles to San Diego. Most won't survive the first hour. The vaginal environment is brutally acidic, designed to eliminate intruders. Immune cells patrol like sentries, hunting down foreign cells. Sticky cervical mucus traps the majority in labyrinthine dead ends. Of the original millions, only a few thousand reach the fallopian tubes, where they face their final challenge, choosing the correct tube while swimming against a powerful current created by tiny beating hairs. The egg that became you had been waiting for decades. Unlike sperm, produced fresh daily by the millions, your mother's eggs formed when she was a fetus inside your grandmother's womb. This egg was massive, 100 times larger than a sperm, and carried a random assortment of chromosomes from both maternal grandparents, a combination that would never occur again. The winning sperm, equipped with primitive temperature sensors and chemical detectors, located this egg in the fallopian tube. Upon contact, it released enzymes that dissolve the egg's protective coating, delivering its cargo, 23 chromosomes from your father. The moment these united with your mother's 23, your first cell was born. Within seconds, the egg hardened its outer shell, preventing other sperm from entering, because 69 chromosomes instead of 46 would create chaos. You were now a unique genetic blueprint, never to be repeated. Your first cell divided rapidly. 2 became 4, 4 became 8, forming a raspberry-like cluster floating down the fallopian tube. By day 5, you were a hollow ball entering the womb. What followed was an invasion. Your cells burrowed into your mother's uterine lining, bursting blood vessels and establishing the placenta, a pound-heavy organ sustaining you for 9 months. Human placentas are particularly invasive, which explains why the womb rejects about 2/3 of implanting embryos. Yet this wasn't purely parasitic. Fetal stem cells travel into the mother's bloodstream, helping repair damaged organs and remaining in her body for decades, potentially beating in her heart or functioning in her brain. The placenta connected you without directly mixing blood, exchanging oxygen, nutrients, and waste across a thin barrier. One of its first tasks was producing human chorionic gonadotropin, the hormone pregnancy tests detect, ensuring your safe harbor remained intact. 1 week after conception, you were a cluster of flexible stem cells capable of forming any body part or even multiple people. If these cells separated early, they became identical twins, natural clones with identical DNA. Sometimes, two separate embryos recombine before forming distinct bodies, creating chimeras, individuals whose bodies contain two different sets of DNA. Lydia Fairchild's DNA tests suggested she wasn't her children's biological mother. She was actually a chimera. Her body contained cells from a twin sister she had absorbed in the womb. Her ovaries carried one DNA signature, while other tissues carried another, making her genetically both mother and aunt to her children. Unless you have an identical twin, your DNA is unique. Yet we have only about 2,500 genes, roughly the same as a tiny roundworm and fewer than a maize plant. Your genes account for less than 2% of your total DNA. The remaining 98%, once dismissed as junk DNA, contains crucial regulatory elements, controlling when and where genes activate, the difference between a brain cell and a skin cell. By week 3, your cluster flattened into a plate with two fluid-filled sacs. A primitive streak marked your back's beginning. Cells migrated along this strip and dove beneath the surface, forming three layers. The top became your skin, hair, and nervous system. The bottom formed your intestines and lungs. The middle developed into bones, muscles, and heart. Cells knew what to become through chemical conversations. Some messages race through your bloodstream. When you eat, your pancreas shouts insulin, prompting liver cells to store blood sugar. Others happen quietly between neighbors through short-range molecules. Your heart development illustrates this choreography. It begins as a straight tube, but loops leftward because specialized nodal cilia rotate coordinately, generating leftward fluid flow. This creates different concentration gradients on either side, directing your heart's orientation. People with Carter-Jerner syndrome have dysfunctional cilia, resulting in reversed organs, hearts on the right, livers on the left. By week 4, you had transformed into a tiny larva-like form with a pulsating heart tube, expanding nerve tube, and rudimentary bowel. Pairs of somites emerged rhythmically along your back, eventually forming 44 pairs that became your segmented spine and muscles. The 1970s discovery of Hox genes revealed these master controllers govern body segmentation, arranged on chromosomes in the same order as the body segments they regulate. Humans share over half our genes with fruit flies, including 4 complete Hox gene sets. Evolution progresses not through creating new genes, but through novel combinations of existing genetic tools. By week 5, you were pea-sized with a curled, transparent body, a long tail, and 4 small neck folds, looking more like a prawn than a human. These features reveal our evolutionary journey from fish-like ancestors through amphibians, reptiles, and finally mammals. Hiccups likely inherited from amphibian ancestors who used similar movements to push water through gills while blocking lungs. The groove between your nose and lip marks where 3 facial parts merged. Our neck folds, inherited from fish gills, evolved into crucial structures. The uppermost became our jaw, while others formed ear bones essential for hearing and air. Evolution refines existing structures rather than rebuilding from scratch. We begin life as aquatic creatures in our own salty ocean of amniotic fluid, carrying ancient genetic wisdom in every cell. As birth approached, your lungs, originally a fish-like swim bladder, matured rapidly, developing air sacs and producing surfactant to prevent collapse. Your brain signaled hormone glands to increase cortisol, removing lung fluid and mobilizing fat reserves. The placenta switched from not yet to let's go. During delivery, contractions compress the umbilical cord, triggering stress hormone levels higher than a heart attack, essential preparation for life outside. Unlike most animals, human newborns are remarkably helpless. Our evolutionary shift to bipedalism reshaped the pelvis, complicating childbirth. Human brains are only 1/3 adult size at birth, doubling within a year. This underdevelopment makes infants helpless but extraordinarily adaptable, able to shape their brains according to environment and experience. You emerged as perhaps the most complex organism on Earth, a testament to billions of years of evolution compressed into 9 months. Every cell carries memory of this journey, from single cell to conscious being. You are the universe experiencing itself, built from stardust and ancient genes, carrying forward a story that began long before you and will continue long after. That's not just biology. That's poetry written in DNA.